white hot with a my kush roll, 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 my kush roll.
When he first started becoming popular, I was like, this is gonna be a problem.
You like, this is gonna go left real fast?
Because his ego was always way too, he would get into some shit and it would be like, yo, you're talking real grandiose for a short dude.
That was a little man syndrome. He's always trying to square up with somebody. That was the thing that I didn't get. I was like, listen, you can't be swinging on people at 5'3", 105 pounds.
Again, the logistics, bro. People aren't thinking about the logistics. You're 5 foot flat. You weigh a 103,
and you're squaring up with things that are 6'2".
Getting served every time. Didn't he get slapped by a man in a cowboy hat?
Listen. I can't keep up with as many times that dude has gotten knocked on his ass, especially when that video came out of the 17-year or the 7-year-old serving him.
Well, he was 17. He came out.
I don't give a damn. Still, it was a little boy serving your 42-year-old ass up, and I couldn't.
And that's a rough looking 42.
Yeah,
that's one of the roughest looking.
It's you see every drug that you've ever done.
Yeah, it's all it's written on your face. It's oh, there's a little meth right there. We look up. It's a little bit crack. Sure, there's a whole this whole side right here is crack.
I had a transition into the episode from that, and then it's gone. I got nothing.
But hey, Kat, we praying for you. Get some help, man.
Shout out to Kat Williams, and shout out. There we go. And shout
out
to.
You just stopped it. Now I stopped it.
Okay. Shout out to. God damn it. Welcome to Speaker Box Seattle Podcast Season 3.
Season 3. He's coming.
He's coming for that. Oh, God, he needs that
check. He'll come. You think?
I'm perfect. I am getting financially prepared for when I get that letter.
So we can kick him $20.
He needs that $20. He needs those royalties. But yes, welcome again. Welcome again to Speaker Box Seattle Podcast. Thank you for tuning in again. This is Frank Massachusetts, a.k.a. Tony the Liger.
I thought you were going to say Tony the Unprepared. Damn it.
And this that might be my new one.
And this is your girl, Bang Summer Mans.
All right, so it was going to be, I was thinking about it on the way over here, and I was like, nah, I can't do that one. It was going to be, Big Freedom make you do what you do what you do. Big Freedom make you do what you do what you do. Rah, rah,
but that
rah.
Would have been 25 minutes.
It would have been 25 minutes of somebody twerking.
With Big Freedom not even on the stage.
Big Freedom on top of the stage counting cash.
Oh, man, dabbing sweat.
But people would do not believe us that we saw that. It's like, no. On the side of the stage, counting cash, talking about shake ass.
Not even a part of what was going on.
No.
In the back, eating a donut.
And shout out and bless those women who were twerking on stage for an hour and a half. I know what you're thinking. Oh, they took a break. No. They twerked for an hour and a half.
They may have, let the other one do something, get a solo from time to time. But for the most part, they were twerking it for an hour and a half.
And, I hope you guys got good medical bills, because God damn it, that's got to be horrible on your hips, on your knees, on everything.
Yeah.
On everything.
You're going to need a full knee replacement.
So no shout out to Big Frida, but shout out to Big Frida's dancers. But before we get into the episode, hit them with the shameless plug, Smurf.
If you would like to listen to past or future episodes, you can go to one of our various platforms, being iTunes, Podomatic, or Stitcher. If you want a one-stop shop for all of that, plus some extras, you can go over to our website, speakerbox.com. That's S-P-K-R-B-X. S-P-K-R-B-X.com.
Oh, it's so good.
And for season 3, y'all motherfuckers need to send us some emails. We got some incentives for the first 3 that we get. You can go ahead and drop a comment or an episode idea or a question for the two of us, because as you can see, we give out good ass advice at our website or our email address, which is speakerboxseattle@gmail.com. That's speakerbox, normal spelling, seattle@gmail.com.
All right. And again, if you haven't checked out our mini doc, that's on our Facebook page. It's also on our website and Podomatic as well. Check it out. It was done by Ambassador Meeks. It came out super dope. We got a great response from it. Check it out. Tell us how you like it. Rate, comment, subscribe, share. Tell everybody about it. Because the more people you tell about it, the more influence that we have, the more influence that we have, the more we have to share, the more we have to share, the more entertained that you are. So help us help you be better. All right.
Oh, that was convincing.
Yeah. Red fish, blue fish, knick-knack, patty. Get it down the boat, okay? I'm sorry, I lost it.
As a disclaimer, I think it's like allergy season is real for me, so I got some coughs and some sniffles and some sneezes and some allergy eyes.
I was waiting for another one. I was like, allergy eyes.
It's a real thing. My face itches sometimes. Like, my whole face. These are real problems.
Like,
man.
Inside of your skin or like on the outside?
Like the outside. It just itches. Like,
so are you just like scratch it? Like you got.
No, I just like rub it. Like sometimes it'll catch me and it's like a full face rub. It's like side to side. And it feels so good.
Your face itches when you have allergies?
Yeah.
That sounds like a bad day.
It is.
That seems like a terrible
day. But usually
it
doesn't really kick in until I get home.
It might be something in your house. It might be because you got the heat on to 95 degrees.
That could possibly be it. But it's definitely like an allergic kind of risk. Because usually my eyes start itching around that time and like my throat starts itching.
I think I'm allergic to one of my pillows on my bed. Oh, shit. You know what? Nobody gives a damn about this. I can't. We can't go down this road.
I just pictured you with like four pillows and you had a gun and you were like, which one are you motherfuckers?
No, it's not even that. It's just, you know, I lay on the pillow. Next thing I know, I find myself, you know, laying next to a lawnmower. just waiting for the inevitable. Shout out to Mark Wahlberg.
That's going to fly over so yep. many. If but you can connect the dots on that one.
You also get free merch. But today's episode, should I explain it?
I still don't really know what we're talking about.
All right. So today we're doing a little bit of the battle of the sexes somewhat. And we're talking about double standards in this society. And what we are describing double standards as are practices or actions that one can take in a particular sex that if done by another sex would be deemed inappropriate. Yes? No? What? Did I spit on the... What?
No, I don't know. There's just something over there and it was bothering me.
Okay, fair enough.
I just slapped Frank in his face.
right. This abuse happens more often than you would think. But no, I felt like this was an important topic to talk about only because I think that as society is growing as a whole, interpersonally, I feel that there's still this overarching idea that's more traditional in terms of sexual or in terms of gender roles. Do you feel that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel stifled somewhat just because, not personally, like because I'm a woman, you can't do something, but do you feel the pressure like people are kind of limiting you in some
way? I mean, I feel it both ways. I feel that, and I also feel it like because feminism is real, there's a real movement and times are changing, that there's also pressure to be so outside of the gender role.
Okay.
It's like you be the masculine one.
You grow a mustache. Like, what?
Like, I don't know how this is helping women's equality, but all right.
Yeah, I do. I agree with that sometimes we get people that go a little bit overboard, but that's the other side of the pendulum, right?
Yeah.
And so when you have pain, you got to go the other way, I guess. So I think I'll start it off as a clear example of what I feel a double standard is.
Okay.
So a double standard that I feel in society that I think is changing, and there's evidence of this, but it's still like, is this idea that men are not allowed to have emotions.
Okay.
That's a double standard. That is a double standard.
True.
Nobody, men or women, give a fuck about another dude's feelings. No, if my dude called me up today and was like, yo, man, I have a bad day. I just want to talk about it. I'd be like, if you don't get the fuck off my phone.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's basic. I feel like that is the result of being calloused over the years, right? Because as a kid, you're taught as a man, you know,
yeah. You
got to be a provider. You got to be strong. You got to be all this, mm-hmm. and that stuff. So you don't really take your feelings into account.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets to a point now where I'm like, I might have a bad day, but I don't want to talk about it. I kind of just want to solve it and get over it. it may be, but I probably should get some counseling.
No, I hear what you're saying. I get it, and I understand it, and I understand everything that you're saying and all the words that are coming out of your mouth. But I'm like, what does the alternative look like?
The alternative looks like, I guess the alternative looks like, hey, how was your day? And then he really tells you about his day and how he feels about it.
In intimate detail. To me, that's not even like showing your emotions. Like, I ask my significant other, like, how was your day? And we talk about it. You know, that's just conversation. But I don't know, something about a dude crying in a movie.
Wait, okay, so like, that's what I'm, okay, now we're getting into it. There we go. Like, yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm just.
Okay, why not? Why not?
Okay, oh, I'm going to sound like such an old-timey, like, traditional gender roles, but...
That's another scene that fucked me up for the rest of my goddamn life.
I guess I'm not a bit... Well, up until, I guess, until I became really hormonal, like, I'm not a big crier in movies.
Okay.
So if I'm not crying and I look to my... You know what fucked me over?
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Okay, let's tell the story. Let's tell the story.
It was actually not with a significant other. It was with my cousin and we were younger. And I was probably about... Well, it was when Armageddon came out.
Okay, so like 98.
He's going to kill me for this shit.
Shout out.
So we're sitting in the movie, right? And it's that scene where Bruce Willis is like, no, it's me. And he goes out and pushes him back in or whatever. Right. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. Cold world.
No blanket.
I look over, and my cousin has a single tear running down his cheek. And I don't know why that fucked with me. I was like, nah, bruh.
You can't have the glory tear? You can't have the Denzel glory tear?
It was so the glory tear. Like, stoic face. One tear. And that was it. And it, like, dried itself up. But I just...
Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Like, what is your impression of a guy who sheds the Denzel tear?
I guess when it counts, like... Well, I don't want to discount anybody's feelings. So, I mean, it was a sad scene. It was emotional. But I'm like, was it that serious? I don't know. So, I mean, if you've got some, like, real life events that go on or some... I guess what I consider to be serious and you start, and I'm talking about like ugly cry too. Like I will totally understand an ugly cry if some like real fucked up life shit happens, but Armageddon, bruh, I don't.
Okay.
Movies, Free Willy, like I don't.
But would you, okay, so if you had a homegirl who shed the single tear, would you still look at her crazy?
A little bit, but not to the extent.
Okay, but why not?
Because to me that with, what my father instilled in me as what are qualities of a man.
Okay.
Don't align with the dude shedding tears in Armageddon. I don't know. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that for me, that's not the way. So shout out to all my sensitive men out there, cool, or men just in touch with their emotions and don't have no shame in their game. I just could not see myself
putting up with it. Because what if it was like a monthly thing? Like maybe he had a hard day and he was just like, I just feel taking advantage of it.
No.
I can't have it.
No. Because this is my standard.
Because dude's got to hear that shit all goddamn day.
I'm with you. I 100%, yes, it's a double standard. It's fucked up. I don't know what she's telling you. Like I said, cold world.
No blanket.
You know, like, sometimes life's not
here. You're gonna be the worst, like, aunt or cousin. She's gonna be like, look, bro, I don't know what to tell you. Cold world, no blanket.
I just, you know. First things first, recipe stuck with pills.
So now we just gonna throw that J. Cole's
quotes. I just don't know.
All right, so can't be in your feelings.
No, I'm not saying that you can't be in your feelings. I'm just like, use your words, bro.
What if he cries during an argument? Like, it's a heated argument, and you're like, what is your problem?
Okay, look, they gotta be masculine tears. They gotta be thug tears. They gotta be thug cry.
thug tears. I'm trying to put this in my head.
Like angry tears.
Oh, so the mad tears. That's real shit. That's real shit. Where you're so mad that you shed a tear. Okay. Yep. All right. That's cool. So no ugly cry though.
Fully breakdown collapse in my arms.
No swinging at nobody. You can't give them the boys in the hood.
I don't even get that because I'm like, I can understand like punching a wall, but just like wildly swinging into the air.
Yeah, you kind of look like a bitch when you swing into the air. But see, there's a thing though. You look
double like, standards.
No, okay. So you look like a bitch if you're swinging in the air, but you look psychotic if you're punching a wall.
Cold.
No blanket.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, okay, I'm trying to think of, like, my current relationship. Like, if I've been with you for some years, or we put in some time, and there happens to be a movie, like, years in where we're watching it, or you had a bad day, and you come home, and you shed a tear, I'm gonna let that go. But, like, if this is, like, dating stage, like...
It's not a good sign?
Nah, bruh.
Not a good sign?
It's just not for me. Now, I'm sure there's some lady out there that...
So that's a double standard you support, is what you're saying.
That's something that I internalize. Like, that's something that, to me, is not the move.
Okay. And keep in mind, like, this is no judgment, not whatsoever.
Don't send me no emails either.
Right. That's not what this is about. This is about identifying and exploring these double standards and saying if we're okay with them. If you're okay with some of these double standards, that's perfectly fine.
But even you kind of expressed that, like, if your homie called you up or if you were sitting, if you went to go see... Deadpool or The Hateful Eight and Samuel Jackson was doing too much.
He was doing way too much.
And you look over and your man got a glory tear. I mean,
we ain't kicking it.
You're not kicking it anymore?
No, absolutely. Like, I can't take you to a movie. What happens when some shit goes down? When we got real problems, you're going to crumble in front of me? Get the fuck out of here. I got time for that shit.
Is it crumbling, though?
You're crumbling with Samuel Jackson.
A glory tear.
I don't give a damn.
Just the one. And then it dries up on its own.
Don't let me see it. If I'm on your right side, it better be the left tear. I'll let you know right now. You better hit that left tier and you better dab that shit off. Just bam. And
I got bras in
the way. Exactly. Why was I bumping that so hard the other day? And I read a comment. I went on the YouTube and I read a comment. He was like, man, that did Future better than Future did Future.
I was like,
damn, he did do Future better than he did Future does Future.
Did you see that, like, the meme video?
No.
So, Panda, there's, like, a video of, like, I guess Panda's, like...
Oh, on sliding down?
No, they, like, kind of twerk sometimes. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
But I was like,
Somebody did one meme of, like, Pandas going down slides or something like this. Like a bras in Atlanta. I was like, what? All right, so now that I've given you that example of a double standard, can you think of any double standard that you feel is placed on women?
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to go for the low-hanging fruit. Okay. That women aren't allowed to be sexually promiscuous. Like, we're hoes if we do it, but y'all are just sowing your wild oats.
Is that a double standard?
Isn't that exactly what women... Okay, if I was to present you two people, man and a woman, the man has had sex with 20 women... The girl has had sex with 20 men. Do you view them any differently?
Yes.
What's the difference?
One's privileged, one isn't. Okay, let me explain. Let me explain. Okay, so let's take another example, right? Let's use a metaphor. So let's take a guy or girl, doesn't fucking matter, right? Guy or girl come from the bottom. Like, he or she is at the fucking bottom. Like, statistics.
From the bottom, I guess.
Like, you got bread and water your whole life, right? Wakes up, works hard, grinds, becomes a millionaire. Buys his mama a house, his daddy a house, all that shit, right? Mm-hmm. Comes through the hood, shining on 22s. They be like, and talk about, I made it, right? The people from that hood are gonna be like, you know what, he's shining on us, that's kind of fucked up, but I respect the grind, he deserves it. Right? Because he grinded all the way to the top. Now, take another person who was born into money.
Mm-hmm.
Same action, came in the hood, rolling on 22s, talk about, I made it. You would say that's a privileged asshole. Same action, different interpretation. And it's not a double standard. It's just that one's privileged and one's not.
Where does the privilege come in? It's just gender.
No, it's the privilege of having a vagina. Okay, are you not under the same consensus that vagina, pussy, whatever you want to call it, is a commodity? It's bought and sold and traded around the world.
Yeah, but to a lesser extent, so is dick.
Dick is not sold. Yeah, it has no value.
Yeah, not to
I'm talking about a monetary value.
No, I'm talking about that. Just like, are you talking about like the sex trade, like sex work?
I'm talking about sex work. I'm talking about porn. I'm talking about whatever it may be.
The same thing. There is a value to a lesser extent.
Yes, to a lesser extent, right? But it's a huge gap. It's a huge gap. The amount of men that are being trafficked and the amount of women that are being trafficked, you can't tell me that it's the same.
No, I'm not saying that it is.
Okay. So you have to admit that this person has a commodity that is worth more than the other person's.
Yeah, but they're not in control of it.
They're not in control of it whatsoever. No, I'm not saying that whatsoever. What I'm saying is that there is something that you have that is more valuable than the other person.
I'm still failing to see how this
is not
a double standard and has to do with privilege.
Okay, so again. So you're privileged in the sense that, not you personally, but you're privileged in the sense of you were born with something that has more value than what I was born with. So something that I have to grind for, you don't have to. I have
genitals.
To grind. What?
Genitals.
Yes, I have to grind for vagina. Me having vagina is capital. Are you under the impression? Let me stop. Are you under the impression that guys fuck girls for sex?
I'm not addressing that at all. Okay. What I'm saying is that, to me, the disparity between the reactions of when a man is sexually promiscuous and a woman is sexually promiscuous has to do more with traditional gender roles. To me, in my interpretation. So okay. When I say that I consider this a double standard, it's because you have two individuals and the female chooses to have sex with the same amount of men that the man has had sex with women. Mm-hmm. It's the same number, equal parts. The woman is looked at differently. I don't think that has anything to do with privilege. It's my personal opinion.
Okay.
And it has to do with something completely different.
Okay.
Which I'm addressing.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I think differently because I feel that a woman can be sexually promiscuous mm-hmm. without being classified as a hoe.
But that's your interpretation. I'm talking about the global view, and I'm not saying that there's people that don't share that, but I would definitely argue that that is a significant minority.
Okay, so let's take a global figure. Let's take a Rihanna, right?
No, let's do even better than that. Let's take a Ciara.
Let's take a... No.
No, let me tell you why. Because this is relevant.
Okay.
And the fact that when we're comparing... Okay, so you see how that there's been such this big backlash with Ciara.
When she got back with Russell Simmons right. And the whole thing and the future thing. Okay.
And it's like, well, why is that? They're acting like she's damaged good. She's no good to anybody anymore. And I still think that has something to do. Now, there's other things that are involved with it. But I do think that has something to do with the way that women who obviously have some sort of physical, tangible evidence of them being a sexual being, i.e. a child, mm-hmm. is looked at differently than a fuckboy who's doing the same goddamn thing with 5 kids and 18 baby mamas.
Shout out to Future.
Like, he's trying, you know, the way it's being presented, that there's nothing wrong with what fuckboy is doing. Shout out to Future, because I do enjoy your music.
Even though old boy does you better than you do you. But go ahead. I don't know that in his name, but it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Is trying to elevate himself over what Ciara, who we really don't know what her sexual history looks like, beyond
Bow Wow.
We can make assumptions, but as far as full tangible evidence mm-hmm. in the form of a child, like producing offspring, we only know that she's legit had sex one time. That's all we can prove.
True.
Future has had sex way more than that. And we can also prove that shit. He has admitted to such.
Okay.
And that she still comes out looking worse.
I'll tell you why. There's a financial disparity.
I think it's a double standard.
If Ciara was making more than Russell Wilson and she was making more than Future, they wouldn't call her a hoe.
I'm not not even bringing in the Russell Wilson piece of it. I'm just focusing on the, because I'm going to keep it real. I think Future and Sierra might be a little bit more what and what than people would like to admit.
Okay.
And yet between those two.
But the percent, okay, that's true. That's true. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I think Sierra's caked up. Don't get me wrong. I think that she's got some money.
Right. I think she has money. I don't think that the disparity is as large as Future would like you to think.
Okay.
And between those two, again, not Russell Wilson having anything to do with this, but the way after their breakup, the way that it is presented is that she's some sort of like out here in these streets, yet there's no commentary on what he's out here doing. And we have certified motherfucking proof every goddamn day of that he's in these streets.
No, and I agree with you 110% that I'll agree with you that I feel that they're closer in financial stability. We're just talking about Future and Sierra.
Yeah.
I feel like they're closer in financial stability than most would put on, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at the numbers. But if you look at it from a pop culture perspective, because at that time she wasn't as relevant as he was musically.
Yeah, no, not at all.
So it looks like there's a huge disparity, right? It looks like she's eating off of him. That's what it looks
like. But I would argue to say that that has to do with double standards as well. Because I think that if Sierra was the trap queen, like the trap music queen, and Future was, turn on the light, he had stopped.
I hated that song.
Then I don't think that we would be looking at them in the swapped way. I don't think we'd be like, oh, Future fell off and he's caking off with Sierra. I don't think that we would look at it that way.
I think we would. You want to know why? Shout out to my boss bitch's wife and niggas. Because how do we look at Meek Mill?
Yeah, but there's other things that go into that. One being that nigga was taking L's for like a full 25 years.
Before he took L's, though. Before he was taking L's, we still looked at it. We were like, yeah, but she's like,
no,
like you're still the bitch in this.
See, I didn't get that. Got that the way that it seemed like other people were perceiving it was, yeah, she's making more money and she's out here and she's doing better.
And she's
but
popping.
He was at the time nothing to sneeze at either. He had his lane.
True.
He just decided to
fuck that up.
Just fuck all that up.
True. Okay, but yeah, but I feel like here in America, especially in America, the disparity really lies in where the money is, right? And I was going to bring up a Rihanna, right? I don't think that Rihanna goes nights on end without some D in her. I don't think it's random D. I just don't. I think she has maybe like four in rotation.
But you,
but I don't look at her like.
But you just made that up.
I did make that up. But my point is that if that came out to be true, I wouldn't look at her like a hoe.
But
I'd be like, yeah.
Just talking about your view. I thought we were talking about this in a global fashion. Like, do you think that there is a global double standard between promiscuity and or what's perceived to be promiscuity in men versus women?
Globally, okay. Globally, yes. In America, not so much. But globally, yes.
Then we'll just have to agree to disagree. I don't know. I ain't got nothing for you. I mean, because I don't know where to take the conversation if we just disagree on that point itself.
That's fair. But you feel, okay, so that's an example of a double standard that you agree is happening, and I don't agree it's happening. But we agree that there is a...
I mean, and also I have the experience of, too, being a woman. And,
true.
And seeing the reactions between men and women discussing what they do, even in upbringing. Like, I'm sure that if I had a brother, it would have been okay for him to do certain things when I was supposed to be abstinent until marriage. Like, and this is something that's not uncommon to women. So yes, I think I can speak from my experience as a woman that there is a double standard that doesn't have to do with anything financial. It's traditional gender roles, and it's not okay because what we choose to do with our fucking bodies is our choice, just like it is with men. And there shouldn't be any sort of backlash that's tied to the types of sexual relationships that we choose to have.
No, I agree with that. There shouldn't be any backlash to it. And I don't know. I just fully believe as a guy, if it's approached a certain way, it would be okay.
But
I don't think a woman can approach having sex, being promiscuous the same way a man could. It would have to be different.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why it's a double standard. Why do I have to do something different that y'all are doing if you choose to? And there's no real word that hasn't been first attributed to a female, like whore, slut, whatever, that you can use in the same capacity as for a man. There's really nothing that you could say, because y'all set the standard of you can do this, whatever you want, sexually with your bodies, unless there's some sort of like moral code that you're living by. But women, we don't have that same right to do so without being perceived a certain way. It's more likely than not that we will be assigned a derogatory worm, like word like whore or slut or sloozy or skip scap scallywag, some shit that a man would not be subject to.
Okay, and I agree with that. And like I said, I think that goes back to the whole privilege thing, because one has one thing that's more valuable than the other.
But if it's more
speaking
valuable...
Speaking
as a man, and I think that's an important distinction, because I don't understand how, because something is considered more valuable, which I'll say, yes, if we're talking about sex work and sex trade and sex industry, yes, pussy is more worth more than penis. But in that same token...
Can we say pussy and dick? Because pussy and penis just sound...
Pussy and penis. I don't see how then that would correlate to the backlash that a woman got when she chooses what to do with her body, whatever that is. If it has sex with 50 dudes in a span of a year, I don't understand how that's any different. The monetary aspect of that equates to some sort of privilege that equates to us being perceived differently in a negative connotation.
Okay, I would say... I mean, like you said, we're obviously just, you know, at different ends, which is fine, which is perfectly fine. But I would say, as a man, I think that if I knew that there was some value in my genitals more than or on the equal level to a woman, I would approach sex differently.
I'm still not seeing how this goes to, like, the way that the act, like, the same act between two different genders is perceived. I just still don't see the relationship.
Well, because I presented the act of rolling up on 22 is when you were born into money and born... Or look at someone like Donald Trump, right? Donald Trump was born with oh so much money, but people look at him in like an idiot, because if he had just put his money in a trust fund, he would have made more. Now, but he's still a millionaire.
Now, take that analogy, because I don't understand that in relationship to genitals and okay. the gender that you're born
okay.
into.
Okay, because you're talking about the act of sex, mm-hmm. right? The act of sex, you're saying if one person does this act and another person does the same act, it's perceived differently. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about the act of making money or the status of being a millionaire. People look at Trump like he's an idiot, but if someone grinded to get the same amount of money from nothing, they would look at him differently than they would look at Trump.
I get what you're saying. I just don't see how that corresponds to the gender and genitals and the act of sex.
So what I'm saying is that how that corresponds is that because there statistically is there's more value in a woman, unfortunately. I'm not agreeing. Don't get me wrong. Like, let's clear the record. I'm not a sexist. I'm not saying this shit is cool. I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm not saying I endorse it or I subscribe to it. What I'm saying is that this is the reality of, let's say, America, right? Is that women are looked at as a commodity, unfortunately, right? Because you'll see dudes who will constantly have women around them, and it's not because they're intelligent. It's not because that they're providing something valuable to their lives. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the same feeling as when you have a new car. I have this woman so I can shit on the next man. I have multiple women because I want to show the next man that I have more women than he does and that she's flyer than your chick. It has nothing to do with intimacy or anything of that nature. So when you approach it like that, it's like, well, women don't accumulate men in that same sense.
But I'm still looking from it. That's still looking at the situation from a male perspective. Like, why would we even have to match that? We're not talking about the reasons behind women being promiscuous or women having, you know, open or free wielding sexual relationships. We're just talking about, strip it down, a man having sex with X amount of women is looked at differently than a woman having sex with X amount of men, even though that they could be equal. We're not talking about the reasons why. We're just talking about that core fact. And I think that part of the reason why we see this differently is because we do see it from two different perspectives, you being as a man, and then even the fact that you presented it in this kind of like almost like, and I'm not trying to come for you or anything, mm-hmm. but even from this male perspective, as males view it this way, mm-hmm. therefore, I still think that that goat kind of plays into that double standard. Okay. That somehow we're supposed to be held to that same standard that men are. That because y'all look at pussy like a commodity, the only way that we could possibly be having sex is if we're looking at dick as a commodity, and that's not the case. I'm just, like I said, stripped down, bare bones. Women having a whole bunch, or men having a whole bunch of sex partners versus women having a whole bunch of sexual partners is viewed differently. And that, at its core, is a double standard. Fuck the reason why. It's a double standard.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. That one went on pretty long.
Yeah.
All right. I only had one more, but I feel like these three are going to be enough. So the only other one that I had that I felt was a double standard, and of course, again, this comes from a male perspective, but again, I'm a male. I can only see it one way. Mm-hmm. I can be a feminist, which I consider myself I am, because mm-hmm. I feel that women and men should have equal rights. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like when you're in different positions, you have to play your position differently than someone else, right? If you're a point guard, you don't play the game. You don't play basketball the same way a center would. Like, I just...
That's I was about to say something that would probably piss some people off, but yes.
Okay.
What you're saying.
Right. I don't want Shaq dribbling the ball. Like, that's just how I think about things, right? But...
What about LeBron James?
I don't want LeBron James dribbling the ball either. Like, play your fucking role, right? And like I said, it's not that... You can't dribble the ball, just I would prefer you not to. I prefer the person who can dribble to dribble, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel that my other double standard, and I think I kind of alluded to this beforehand or in my last diatribe, is the idea that, or it's not even the idea, the reality from a male's perspective that men have to work.
No, I agree with you on that one.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I feel like that's a huge double standard that gets overlooked sometimes, but we don't have the option of not working.
Now, but you looked at it a certain type of way.
Do we? Can I advance myself by not working?
I mean, but what are we talking about? What do you mean by advance?
In terms of socioeconomic or just social class. Can I advance myself by not working?
No, but can a woman?
Yes.
How?
A woman can go from 40,000 to 100,000. Socially.
By not working.
Socially.
How?
You see it all the time.
How?
How many millionaires do you see with millionaire wives? Did she come into the relationship with $1 million?
What?
Okay. Okay. So you have someone mm-hmm. who has $1 million
mm-hmm.
and they take on a spouse who doesn't have $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
More times than not, it's a man who's at the millions that takes on the spouse that doesn't have $1 million. A woman who has $1 million, I can't imagine would take a man who doesn't also have.
It's not true.
The majority. I'm not saying outliers. I'm saying the majority.
I know what you're speaking anecdotally, though.
Okay.
It's problematic.
Okay, that's true. But I feel that that option isn't even there. Like, as a man, I never woke up and thought, you know what? I could find a different way. I don't have to. My worth's not based on merit. And I feel that some women, not all, some women's success is not necessarily, or their social class or their comfort level or where they're at in life is not solely based on merit. Solely.
Are you talking about like gold diggers and stuff?
Gold diggers, sure.
I mean, that there's men that do that too, though.
But on the same scale. Like, we're talking about the majority. We're talking 80-20.
I know, but there's really no... There's nothing to back that up, though, because I'm saying anecdotally, I would agree with you.
Okay.
Yes, probably I would say there's a whole bunch more gold diggers, but we don't know that to be true. We just don't. Like, okay. And I really do, especially, you know, one of my favorite websites
is Baller Alert.
Shout out to Baller Alert. But
actually, I shouldn't be saying that. I don't go on Baller Alert. I'm sorry. Let's clear the air. Go ahead.
But even though, like, you do see that there is a subset of men who are the same exact way, who instead of trying to make their own accomplishments, try to align themselves with a woman who has already done that.
But is it as dramatic? Okay, so here's my thing. I agree that it's anecdotal because I don't have statistics. I don't have facts to back up my statement. This
should have done your research.
I should have came in here with the fucking mainframe. That's exactly what I should have
done. Well, no, you already got yourself into some trouble.
Oh, God, that was the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, my God, it was the most frightening thing. No, you don't understand. Frank almost didn't make it here. But I feel that off the top of your head, you can name more gold digger women than you can name gold digger men.
I also think that that has to do with the perception of... Okay. So just like you gave the example of a millionaire man who decided to get some sort of trophy wife or trophy woman, and then she, by proxy, then has access to his wealth.
Elevated to social wealth, yeah.
I'm just saying, there's a transaction that takes place there.
Okay.
It's not like the man has been bamboozled into the situation.
Okay.
I think that even though it's presented that he's like some unwilling participant, but just a good-natured man. No. He knew what he was doing. He used his wealth and his success and his power and sometimes maybe his fame to gain access to a class of woman that he typically wouldn't have access to.
Right.
He is fully fucking aware of that.
Okay.
On the flip side, there is a woman who has, and this is where we kind of get into where I disagree with you about merit and success.
Okay.
She's emphasized other things. So instead of career and instead of education, in some cases, not all, she has invested in her looks, has access to enough money or connections to put her in the same places that these wealthy men would be in. And so in my opinion, and I'm not, again, I understand I'm not speaking from a global or societal perspective, that they are going into this as two fully aware people willing to make some sort of trade. Mm-hmm. But even in that situation, even though it's two consenting adults coming into some sort of mutual agreement, the woman is assigned the negative view. She's called a gold digger. The man's called a dupe, a rube.
Called a trick. Like, you tricking. Like, we know what it is. Like, what was that old boy's name who was racist as shit in the NBA? Donald Sterling with his 27. Like, we know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, but he's tricking, but I will say this. Now, Tip, you are 100% wrong. It is tricking if you got it.
It's still tricking if you got it.
Let's just be clear. You just can afford it. And I would say that, yes, he was tricking, but
he was paying bills.
Yeah, did you know how that whole story turned out?
I don't know how that whole story
turned out. Yeah, what? She didn't make out as well as
did. Old boy's wife came through and, like, shut that shit down. Yeah, yeah.
Got all them coins.
Yeah, okay.
But at the same token, like, let's be real. In these gold digger type, for lack of a better term, kind of relationships, who still has the fucking power? Like, if you wanted to pull the emergency parachute and get the fuck out of it, who ultimately holds the power in that relationship?
It depends if you have a prenup or not.
I'm not talking about marriage.
Just dating, trying to fuck it around. Cool. Okay.
And even in marriage, because if you didn't get your prenup situation in order, well, then you are a rube.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Right? But ultimately, the holder of the wealth, which we are assuming in these situations is a man.
In the specific situation. In
the specific situation is a man. Still holds the goddamn power. That's what you see with all of these baller wives who stay because they have to. Mm-hmm. That's why you see Future's baby mamas besides Sierra acting right. Because they are in a financial place where these men ultimately hold the financial... Their economic stability is based on these men. So to me, that's not a come up. But the women are still viewed negatively, and I just don't understand that.
So you don't view it as a come up, right? But if your situation was fucked before that, and now it's comfortable, even if you're still in a vulnerable position, it's still a come up.
Okay, so we're just talking about, like, resources at that point.
Resources,
we're not
yeah.
talking about, like, emotional kind of.
No.
Because
no.
I think that that's
no,
an
I'm
important.
Talking, I'm talking about, because my original, I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry. It's just that my original statement was that men don't have the option of not working. That was my original statement.
I think that they, then let's define what exactly we're talking about. Are you talking about marriages? Are you talking about, like, when are they not allowed to not work?
No, I cannot sustain financial stability by not working.
No, you could. If you wanted to, you could
tell me. Tell me.
Anything that a woman could do, you could do it. It's just not as normal. If you wanted to align yourself with some desperate millionaireess or you know, trust fund baby, you could do that if you decided to make. Because trust me, there are men that do this, that do the same shit gold digging women do. They make sure that they present very well, that their appearance is on point, that they're aligning themselves in the same social circles as these people with this wealth. You could do that. Would you be perceived differently than a woman who does it? Yes, you would, but you could. So I don't want to say that. I just don't want to say that you couldn't. Like, it's not an option. No, it's an option. Y'all motherfuckers just choose not to take it.
No. I doubt that. I doubt that sincerely. I doubt that. I feel that if more men knew that they had an option not to work, they would approach life differently.
You see it all the time. We're just not talking about on the grand scale that you're talking about it. How many motherfuckers are making mixtapes while their girl goes off to work?
But grand scale is what we're talking about. That's what the double standard is, right? We're talking about globally.
No, we're talking about grand scale in a different way. I'm talking about, you're talking about like the amount of money in these situations. I'm talking about, no, you see that shit all the time when there's not a whole bunch of coins involved. So y'all do have the option not to work. It's just, what are the stakes here? What are we talking about?
Okay. So you're saying that for a woman, she can go from, she can work on her appearance, her be in the same social circles, and go from 40,000 to a millionaire. Mm-hmm. But a guy can go work on his looks and whatnot. He could. But you're saying it's not as common, so it's not the majority of the time.
I don't have numbers to back that up, and I don't know if it's harder.
Okay, but socially,
are there any gigolos out there that could call in?
Even gigolos. How many male strip clubs do you see? In comparison, how many male strip clubs?
It's anecdotally less that I know of, but at the same time, that's not to say that they don't exist, because they surely do. And how many strippers are working independently and just doing the bachelorette party circuit and all of these things? I've seen some shit go down at a bachelorette party that I was shocked that
wait a minute. Don't dry snitch.
No, I've seen some shit go down. I don't care. I wasn't involved. I'm not in any of the pictures.
Dry snitching.
Y'all know who you are with that nasty ass bachelorette party.
Dry snitching.
It wasn't even a bachelorette party. It was a birthday party. And it was like, who the fuck does this at a birthday party? Y'all motherfuckers are wilding now. And he was bald and had on tidy whities. So y'all bitches need to step up.
Was it the same dude who was at the dinner table and took his hat off when he was bald? Okay, no, I thought it was the same dude. I was hoping it was the same dude. And I was like, that's a come up for him. I was like, then yeah, all right, then you're absolutely right. He could. You're absolutely right. But
no, I'm just saying, like, okay, if we're not even talking about that, like, if we're just talking about
working, I don't feel the strip club things anecdotally, but go ahead.
If we're just, I don't know, pull up the numbers, man. You're talking a whole bunch of shit.
Numbers. Oh, God. Please, somebody call in with these numbers. Walk down the street and count how many male and female strip clubs you see within a so many mile radius.
That's fine. And I'm talking about independent strippers working the bachelorette party circuit, too. I'm for real, because that's a real thing. That is a real motherfucking thing. But anywho, and if you're talking about just the option not to work, like I said, there are plenty motherfuckers right now as we speak. The girl is at work and they are in the house making mixtapes. It's just the strategy in that situation is different. You don't even have to focus on your appearance. You just have to emotionally manipulate a bitch. So what are we really talking about?
I can say there's emotional and mental manipulation going on the female side, too, with the female gold diggers.
Almost definitely.
Yeah.
But we're just talking about not having to work. And so I'm saying there are situations where a man don't even have to do all that extra. He don't have to gussy himself. And
I don't see that being comfortable.
No, and I would venture to say, actually, that that's probably the more successful route, is just to emotionally manipulate a bitch
and just ride off her coattails.
Yeah, like present, it's a Lifetime movie essentially. Present is super charming, and then once she signs the papers,
is that where Lifetime got this from? It was just a whole bunch of bitches in the boardroom talking about, we all got men problems. Sucking us dry, making mixtapes and
maybe
shit.
We see it like the View, I don't know if she's still on it or whatever it was, Sherry Shepherd just had a gold digging. That man was coming from the corner. points. Who was the author? Terry McMillan. Same thing. Gold digging situation.
Cheryl Shepherd. Is that the little black girl? She's short. She's short. That's what I meant.
With
by
the
little.
Big boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure we're talking about the same person.
Gold digging situation. There's really tons of those. Like men, shiesty ass men who come in and do what they do to get them coins and then get cut or bounce.
I respectfully disagree in terms of comfort. I feel that the magnitude and the range that you have in terms of climbing social class is more attainable as a woman not working than a man not working.
That's my perspective as a dude. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I just wanted to finish that statement. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that while I agree with the maybe not to the magnitude, I don't think that the disparity is that great, to be real with you. Because do you think that these gold digging women are automatically viewed as some like classy socialite? No, there's always that stigma of being a gold digger, and there's always that vulnerability associated with this type of mutual agreement, because there is an unbalanced level of power in that relationship. So as far as social perception and as far as increased opportunities from becoming a gold digger, yeah, there's probably some situations where the dude actually gives a fuck and their position is elevated, but there is equal amounts, if not more, situations where the dude knows what time it is. He knows that he has the power in the relationship. His social set doesn't accept the female, and she's really at his beck and call as far as access to the wealth that he has built outside of her.
All right. And that's fine. I'm still going with the notion that hoes is winning, and there's a reason that statement exists.
The niggas can be hoes, too.
Niggas can't be hoes. I'll agree with that.
So hoes are winning. It's just a grab bag of niggas and bitches.
I don't think it's a grab bag. I think there's an 80-20. There's eight.
I wouldn't say an 80-20. I'm not saying it's unequal. I mean, it's not realistic to be like, it's 100% equal. But I'm saying it's probably more along the lines of 60-40.
I'll give you 75-25.
I don't give a shit. I'll take 60-40.
All right. Well, there it is. We're going to leave it at that. All right. So double standards. I feel this was good. I thought this was a good debate. I think every season we need one where
we just don't see it for each other.
We just don't see eye to eye. I think there are a lot of episodes where we're just on the same page and we're just talking shit or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important that we show, especially in terms of perspective of sex, right? Because that's mm-hmm. why we have this dynamic in the first place.
No, and there's just like I know that there's certain things that I can't speak to because I'm not a man. Mm-hmm. And there's certain things that you can't speak to because it's like if a white person walked up to us right now talking about All Lives Matter.
We might have to have an episode about that. We might have to have a white dude in the corner just sitting there. And I'm like, say something, please. Speak it to the mic, bro. Speak it to the mic. Shout out to all our white listeners.
Oh, and you know what? This has nothing to do with nothing, but let me just get this off my spirit. Y'all coon ass, jigabooing ass, Uncle Tom, fucking Cousin Cletus motherfuckers that are talking about you're voting for Donald Trump. I'm just sorry. Like, unfriend me right now on all of your social media.
No Trump followers.
Black folks. White folks, yeah, I see what you're doing. But black folks, there has to be a certain, to me, honestly, and this is just my personal opinion, there has to be a certain amount of, like, self-hate and self-loathing for you to vote for that man as a black person.
Okay.
And, this has been a public service announcement.
Since we're getting things off our chest, I got something to get off my chest. Chexed. Yeah, it's getting late. We're about to wrap this episode up. I got something to get off my chest. As you guys know, I just recently bought a place. I'm not stunting on y'all. I'm just explaining. This is important details.
Now it sounds like you're stunting on
me. It does. Because I'm not stunting on you. Shit. Baller alert. No, I'm sorry. So I recently moved to an area that's population old white people, mm-hmm. right? And I knew what to expect. I knew what to come into and whatnot, right? So I'm walking around. I'm going to the grocery store. And through my walk arounds and just being around the neighborhood, I've counted 5 black people. That's not the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is what you fuck boys and you coon-ass, bitch-ass, again, self-hating, self-loving-ass, when I give you the nod. Oh. And you know what the nod is. You know what the fuck the nod is, bro. Don't look at me like I'm the other team. That's that fuck shit. And you wonder why that's that fuck shit? Is because when we were at Western and you saw somebody and they gave you the nod, it was instant camaraderie.
It was more than a nod. It was like, ah! I'm like,
all right, let's say together, let's vibe, let's do something, right? And I'm not saying you have to be my best friend. I'm not saying we gotta be homies. I'm not saying you gotta let me watch your kid. But respect me, bro. We're in the same fucking situation, and you gonna sit up there and try and look away and shift your eyes the other way. Get the fuck out of here. Eat a dick and die, bitch.
And if you would like to listen to past or future episodes of Speakerbox Seattle, head over to one of our various platforms, being iTunes, Podomatic, or Stitcher, if you want a one-stop shop for this. And some bonus content, head over to our website, being speakerbox.com. That's
S-P-K-R-B-X.
S-P-K-R-B-X.com. And if you, I'm sure that some of you have come away with some thoughts about this episode.
Shout out to thoughts. Thoughts. Nice. I see what you did there.
About this episode. I'm sure you have something to say since this kind of got on the more heated side of the thing. So go ahead and let us know if you have any feedback.
Why
any
are you putting on boxing gloves?
Episode ideas, brass knuckle to our email box, speakerboxseattle@gmail.com. That's speakerbox, normal spelling, seattle@gmail.com.
All right. And again, of course, like she said, if you got any comments, suggestions for our next episodes, or if you want to chime in, we can discuss what you chimed in on. Actually, that'd be kind of dope, right? If people did that.
Yeah,
hit us up. Let us know. We'll make it happen. But as always, you want to go first? As a feminist, I will allow you to
That's not outro. Feminism, bro.
To outro yourself first?
But see, the whole way, your whole approach there.
I can't win, people. Yeah. I can't
your
win.
Whole approach.
I can't win.
You pulled a Macklemore.
I did pull a Macklemore. That's right. I pulled a Roger Klotz. This is Frank Massachusetts.
And this is Bangin' Smurfette.
And we'll holla at y'all later.